Psalm number 65 in your Bible. Verse number 1. The Bible said, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. For we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of those four verses of Scripture this morning. And I ask you to pray with Brother Hall and pray for me for just a minute if you would. And God to help us. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the Sunday school hour today and for the songs that we've been able to sing. I want to thank you for the privilege it's ours to be in the house of God. Help us, I pray, to enter into this place with thanksgiving, with prayer, and with praise. And help us, I pray, to preach the Word of God. Lord, I do pray for Thy people today that You would encourage and strengthen every heart. And God, that You'd help me as I stand to be filled with the Spirit of God, with power and with wisdom. May You touch the souls that are here. And God, may You save sinners to Thy glory and revive the people of God. Again, I pray as always for liberty in this place and for Your divine and holy presence. You're a welcome guest in this place today. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. I pray that You'll touch us. And God, that You'll move us in our soul for Thee, draw us nigh unto God, Lord, that we might receive understanding, that we might receive grace, Lord, that we might know the Word and the will of God for each of our lives. And we'll thank You and praise You for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to look at these four verses this morning and basically take in verse number 4 as our thought, where David said there, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." Basically, those words, and preach for a little while, and I tell you, I just about swallowed my tongue when Brother George said we're going to sing page 499 this morning. But I'm going to preach on something that I know is difficult for Baptists. And that's right, there's two Christian virtues that are quite difficult for God's people. And one of them is prayer, and the other is worship. And I want to take these scriptures and be very brief and very simple and point out just a few things this morning on the lines of the ingredients of worship. I was reading again just this week out of John 4. And the Lord told that Samaritan woman at the well that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then He says, "For God seeketh such to worship Him. For God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit." That means without the lighting of candles. That means without a rosary to pray with. That means without any earthly or tangible means at all. We must enter into His presence in the spiritual man and come in contact and communicate with Him with our inner man. And it must be done in a manner of truth. There's some today that try to worship Him in all spirit. And they've got spirit about them, but they have not truth. And then there is a dead orthodoxy that men worship Him according to truth, but they have very little of the Spirit of God about them. I want to say that there's nothing any more deadlier to a soul of a spiritual man than a service that is all spirit. And there is no truth involved in it. I remember years ago that a fellow I worked with enticed me really to go to him, with him, to the house of God where he worshiped. Mrs. Hall and I went, and I'm assuming we had our children, but I had never quite been in a service like that in all of my life. They got to babbling in some kind of language that I didn't understand, and some of them got running up and down the aisles and carrying on, and women got to testifying and talking in some other language that I didn't understand, and then the preacher got up and preached on a doctrine, my friend, that is not of the Word of God. And I'll tell you, I was never in anything more confusing in all my life than I was in a charismatic church that had a lot of what they called spirit, but they were void of Bible truth. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But I remember years ago, I was at another church not far from here. And you wouldn't know it, but I'm not missing. Some of the people may be listening. But they had a whole lot of the truth, but they had absolutely no spirit whatsoever. I've been in some Baptist churches, and I believe Baptists have the truth of the Word of God. But I'm telling you, my friend, they preach in truth, but they have no Holy Ghost movement. I tell you, it is a dead orthodoxy when men and women will come to the house of God and there is truth being preached, but there is no movement of the water. I like to come to church when there is a stirring, my friend, of the water. That, by the way, is when men and women, if they'll step inside, they can be made whole. And there's nothing quite like coming to the house of God, in the presence of God, preaching the Word of God, and then worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's right. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest, and then causes to approach unto thee. And I know no other reason to approach God other than to worship God and receive from God those spiritual needs that we have in our lives. Now I want to say we're so far behind on spirit and worship. We ought not to criticize too many folk. I'm going to tell you, we've got quite dead ourselves. Oh, but I'm going to tell you where His presence is and where truth is being proclaimed, brother, things will pick up. Hallelujah to God. And so I want to preach for a little while on those things that are involved in worship. What does it really take for a man to worship God in spirit and in truth? This psalm is another, if you look at the title, it's another one of David's psalms. And it indicates that it is a shurnamizmor. That's Hebrew for a psalm and a song. In other words, it was a combination of a psalm and a song. It could be read or it could be sung. It's like Brother Doug said in Sunday school, never a man spake like that man spake, my friend, like this man. And there's nothing like coming to church. And I tell you, if we're where we ought to be spiritually, we could come to the house of God and do nothing, my friend, but read and listen to the Word of God. And we'd have to go away and say, hey, it's been good to be in the house of God, for no man ever spake like that man has. Brother Doug read some scripture in Luke 4 where the Lord in the synagogue opened the book. And he read from Isaiah's prophecy. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister. I want to say that's exactly what he's done for you and I. He opened the book, my friend, at Genesis 1:1, and he closed the book at Revelation 22:21, and then he given the book to the ministers to preach. And I'm telling you, if we just simply read the Word of God, it ought to bless our hearts and stir our hearts into worship. But not only did we read, we come this morning and sang. Hallelujah to God. Lifted up our voices, brethren, we have met to mully grub. Amen. And to sit as stiff as a board. Oh, y'all, brethren, we have met to worship. And what are we going to do? And to adore the Lord our God. Somebody said, what is worship, Brother Hall? My friend, it is to prostrate ourselves and to adore Him that loved us and died for us. It's not only that, but it means to kiss the hand or to kiss as a dog licks his master's hand. Somebody said, I don't like that. You're a Pharisee, my friend. I'm telling you, we ought to come to a place in the house of God where we're so humble in our heart and spirit that we're willing to prostrate ourselves and crouch ourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus and worship Him in spirit and in truth and be thankful in our heart for what God has done for us. God, help us. I'm going to tell you, if some friend of yours or family member that had a terminal illness was suddenly healed, brother, you would shout, or if you had terminal illness and was suddenly healed, you'd be a shouting the house down. But I'm going to tell you, you were terminally ill with sin, and the wages of sin brought death, and we are sad as if nothing ever took place in our hearts. I'm going to tell you, that little old widow's son there in the city of Nain, when Christ touched that casket, that young man rose up in that casket and began to speak hallelujah to God. And I believe it was words of thanksgiving and praise. For he that was dead is now alive. And like the prodigal son, he that was lost is found. And if we were dead and lost and we're alive and we're found, then we ought to worship Him. Amen. Amen. Be somewhat thankful in our heart for it. Praise God. And our testimony sometimes about is dead. Now, I won't charge you nothing for that. Amen. So it's a psalm and a song. But verse 4, our text verse, notice it, if you will. It reveals numerous areas of God's grace. Just in those two words, or three or four words, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest. I'm going to tell you, ain't been chosen any other way except by grace. And it was grace that caused you. Maybe I ought to say it like this. It was grace that chose you, but it was the power of God that caused you to approach unto Him. I'm glad that it was with cords of kindness that He drew me unto Himself into the courts of God that I might worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be much because some of you don't know anything about worship. Some of you ain't never worshiped God. Knowing what it's like to worship God in spirit and in truth. It deals with God's grace in those words. God's providence. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. It deals with our election. Somebody said, you just cussed. Oh, did I now? I'm glad I'm among the elect. Amen. And by the way, it didn't take the popular vote to get me elected. All it took was a vote of one. Jesus voted for me, and hallelujah to God, I'm among the redeemed of the Lord today. Amen. Somebody said, how are you elect? According to the foreknowledge of God. Some Baptists will wake up someday and realize that it did not take God by surprise the day you got saved. According to His purpose in life for you, He has saved you, friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Election. That don't mean that God predestinated some to hell. No, sir. It means according to the foreknowledge of God. Amen. That we've been elected. Amen. It deals with our effectual calling. I'm glad His call affected me. Amen. If you don't believe it has, ask my wife. Well, ask my children. Go back home and ask my family that knew me. I'm glad that the call of God has affected me, son. Oh, yes. I gave Him my old tattered garment and He gave me a robe of pure white. His calling called me out of the world, but along with the world, it called me out of the honky-tonks and the dens and the bars and the places of vice and corruption and ungodliness. Hallelujah to God, son, had brought me to the church house. I was visiting with Brother Doug's old employer this Friday. And he said, hey, said, I've been trying to get you down to the Legion. Said, why won't you come down there? I said, well, I just read in the paper where three folks from the Legion down in Providence is in jail for gambling and drinking and selling liquor. And he said, well, they need to hear the Word of God. I didn't say it. I could have been cruel. I started to say, let them come to the church house and get it, friend. Amen. I'm not going to wade through a tub of slop. Amen. Oh, buddy. Somebody said, you ought to go down there and be a witness to them. I don't have to wade through their slop. Amen. God brought me out of those places. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Talks about our access and acceptance with God, which includes sonship. Only His sons can approach unto Him. Only through sonship can we worship Him. Oh yes, I'm telling you, there's not a bastard ever entered into the divine presence of Him in worship. Some of you don't like that, but it's a Bible term. No infidels ever got into the throne of grace. No illegitimate son ever got there. Sons, those He births into the family of God. He grants them access into the presence of God and hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, how'd you get there? Because of Jesus. Through a new and a living way, through a blood-sprinkled way that He's consecrated behind the veil for us. And I've got a hope behind that veil that is steadfast and sure. Hallelujah. Son, I feel a tug on my heart. Every morning when I crawl out of bed, I feel a tug on my heart to get in behind that veil in the presence of Him in worship and prayer and adoration of my God. Talked to old Brother Brown last night. I said, how you doing? He said, about half ill. I said, you sick? He said, in the soul. I said, well, what's the matter? He said, well, these meetings is good. But he said, I don't get much study time in. And he said, that's been a part of my life. And he said, I'll be quite honest, when I don't get to study like I like to, I get a little grumpy. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you, worship would solve a whole lot of grumpiness. Worship would take care of a whole lot of bitter attitudes and sour spirits. Worship would take care of a whole lot of jealousy and animosity and pride that we have. You never get behind the veil as long as your heart is filled up with jealousy, animosity, pride, and an unforgiving spirit. Forget about it. Or if you've got an indifferent attitude, I'll tell you, you need to learn to love those that despitefully use you. Whether it be grandpa, grandma, husband, or wife, if they're not satisfying you, you better learn to love them if you want in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to be sweet and you sitting and looking at me like half a new gate or just bust your hide. Amen. Skin you and pour in the salt. Hallelujah. Worship. This week's revival. Going to require a little worship. Amen. Having the power of God requires worship. Amen. Having the presence of God, we can only worship in His divine presence. Amen. That's right. Buddy, you got the wrong idea of worship, buddy. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you can't be much of a Christian without it. Amen. You might think you can, but you can't. Notice that word, blessed. I won't be long if I ever get there. Blessed is that man. That word is used at least five other times in Psalms. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Psalm 32, 1, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. Psalm 34, 8, blessed is he that trusteth in the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 4, and Psalm 41, verse 1. two of those have to deal with our trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah to God. Blessed is the man that no longer walks in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It is law that they meditate day and night. No wonder we're not happy, son. We've departed the book. We've departed worship. We've departed prayer. How in God's name can we be blessed and happy otherwise? It's an impossibility to be happy otherwise. Blessed is that man at least six times in the Scripture. God puts it there in the book of Psalms, at least. At least. Blessed is that man. And that man that's blessed is commanded to bless him. I can see that sailed out over the top of the balcony area that we don't have, by the way. That word blessed, its primary meaning is that of overwhelming joy and glorious benefits. Woo! Blessed! Oh, how happy is the man! How joyful is that man that God has chosen! Oh, that ought to be enough to make you do a somersault, friend. But to know that out of all that crowd around you, God chose you and has caused you to enter into His divine presence. Somebody said, didn't He choose others? They didn't respond, friend. He put enough of it on me that I didn't want to. I saw Him high and lifted up, Brother Doug. Woo! Not on the throne, though. I first saw Him high and lifted up on the tree. Hallelujah to God. And saw the tears of joy that He shed, for it was the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross. Despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of God. Tell me why we can't have overwhelming joy today. Blessed is that man. Joyful is that man. And by the way, ladies, that word man there is all inclusive of mankind. Every man, under every situation, blessed is the man, if I can break that down, that's saved. That's real hard theology, ain't it? Hallelujah to God. That's right. Whom thou hast chosen and drawn, that man that He's chosen and drawn unto Himself should be of all men most happy. That is right. Out of the fields of sin, out of the dens of iniquity, been made righteous and holy and pure. We are heaven bound with the hammer down. Heaven bound with the hammer down. Somebody said, but there's a lot of obstacles in the way. What? I challenge you to find that book. You look in that book and show me one thing that will hinder us from getting there. I'm going. I'm heaven down with a hammer down. Oh, somebody said, well, I hope I make it. Poor, benighted soul. He has raised us up together, according to Paul in Ephesians 2. And then He set us back down together with Christ in heavenly places, my friend. It ain't a matter of am I going, it's when. Amen. It ain't a matter of am I pulling out? It's what time the train gets underway. Son, I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. You remember that little truck y'all got me, brother, still sitting in there in my office. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. I need to hit these and hurry along. I can see some of you's getting weary already. You know, it's a privilege to worship. It is a privilege to worship. That's right. Hey, everybody look right up here at me. Especially you. And there ain't too many of you in here. Maybe I don't know how to do this really because I don't see but two. I see Sarah and Jake back there. The only two that I see that fits this description. You all are about to get of age, ain't you? Y'all looking puzzled. Where's Brother Hall going? By all rights, folks, you can get out on your own, but oh, it's a privilege to sit down at Mom's table and set your feet up and under Mom's table and delight yourself on Mama's cooking. May I say to you, my friend, hey, it is a blessed privilege for you and I to sit down at God's table and delight ourselves in God's cooking. Woo! Mom, you talking about coconut cream pie. Whoa, Lord. My mama can make them put them calf slobbers on them, son, ahead about that high. I never seen nothing like them in all of my life. And were they delicious? But I'm telling you, son, it ain't nothing like sitting down under God's table. That's a privilege. I'm going to tell you what. It's not only a privilege, but there's some opportunities in worshiping God. I ain't got to the message yet. I'm trying to get there. Great opportunities. We can fulfill God's will. We can grow and mature. You ain't going to grow a lick, friend, without learning to worship.
Amen.
That's right. Knowledge of Him in His divine presence, wisdom, spiritual enlightenment, and pleasing God.
Amen.
I ain't done preaching, so you just might as well pay attention. And the longer you don't pay attention, the longer I'm going to preach. If you keep not paying attention, we'll be here at 6:30 and we'll just preach twice and go home.
Amen.
Amen. I'm doing the best I can do with it under our circumstances this morning. But what are the ingredients? I believe we find them in the context of this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 3, please. Iniquities prevail against me, and for our transgressions thou shalt purge them away. I will say that first ingredient is purity in heart and in life. Brother, nobody with a defiled, wicked, dirty, filthy heart ever got in the presence of God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, don't throw rocks at me. Why do you want to come into His presence and worship and blow cigarette smoke in His face? Oh, no, I'm going to tell you, purity of heart and life.
Amen.
How are you going to worship with the thoughts of last night and the television set in your heart?
Amen.
How are you going to worship Him with yesterday's thoughts and intrusions into the world in your heart?
Amen.
You're not going to get into the presence of God with impurities and defilement and corruption in your heart. There must be a purified life. Somebody said, how can you, well, just like that priest washed at that laver, that priest had to wash at that laver before his service was performed. And I'm going to tell you and I are going to have to wash a little bit before we can get into the Word of God. Come on the house, boys and girls. It's preaching time now. We've done got down the middle in a little while. Huh? Somebody say, well, hey, where do you spend Saturday nights at? It's meddling time. What do you do on Saturday night? May I say, friend, you're not going to get too pure at Walmart dragging up and down the aisles. Not on Saturday night, no hell. Oh, no. You want to have God in this place on Sunday morning? Get in the labor, friend. Get in the labor of the Word of God on Saturday night and Sunday morning and present yourself to God a clean vessel. Then you get into His presence and worship a little while. Is that what it says? Iniquities prevail against me. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, thou shalt purge them away. I'm going to tell you, there's two ways of being clean. That's by the blood in the book. By the blood in the book. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hart, I'm saved. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I have been made pure in the blood of the Lamb. That's wonderful. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said to His disciples in John 13. He girded Himself about with a towel and took a basin of water and said, I'm going to wash your feet. Oh, Brother Peter said, Lord, said, you're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you don't have any part with me. Not my feet only, Lord, but my head, my hands also. And the Lord said, you don't need that, Peter. Just your feet are defiled. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. What He's saying is you're going up and down in this world, seeing and hearing things that vex your righteous soul. And you're going to get a little dirt on your feet, the best you can do. You're going to get a little dirt on your feet. And you're going to have to come to Him and let Him sit down with that towel and that basin of water, the Word of God, and purify you by the washing of water by the Word. I'm going to tell you, I know when we stop worshiping, we ain't in that book. We not at that labor. Hallelujah to God. Listen, listen. Please notice these terms. Prevail against me. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, unhappy is a man who despises these enemies. And worse still is a man who counts them as friends. Now that sounds like a paradox. But I'm going to tell you something, my friends. Somebody said, how can I love those things, those iniquities that would prevail against me? Come on, I'm getting ready to explain that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God is worth our getting to. And hey, come on in the house and somebody help me, praise Lord. If you can help me, help me. I'm simply saying, hey, these things that God puts in our life, if we really want God, we'll find the grace of God to allow Him to prevail over those things that we might get to God. But I'm afraid that our iniquities have separated between us and our God. Are you listening? And we're willing to sit down and let those iniquities prevail against us. But Spurgeon went on to say this, Benny, and I like it. He will not only forgive our sins, He will overcome them. Woo! That they not prevail against us. That which prevails against man cannot prevail against God. And son, if we'll yield ourselves to Him and desire. I wouldn't even tell you this. You know what I'm going to preach on tonight? A man after God's own heart. Getting to God. Not getting to the shell, getting to God. We'd be fools to pick up big English walnut, stick in our mouth and go chewing around on the hull.
Right.
It ain't the hull I want, friend. Miss Ruth had some of them already cracked laying there in the office Friday, and I guess it's hers. I helped myself to them some. When I left here, I had more kernels in my dentures, son, and Carter's got little liver pills. But I was liking them English walnuts. And I'm going, hey, I didn't want nothing to do with the hull. I wanted that kernel.
Yes,
now I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to get to God, son. We're going to have to get to God. Oh, yes, to worship God. We got to get to God. And there may be some iniquities and sins that would prevail against us. But God can forgive and God can overcome those sins in our life. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Amen. Our sins would but for grace prevail us in the court of divine justice, in the court of our conscience, and in the battle of life. But what a comfort to know the iniquities that prevail against us cannot prevail against God. That's some of you's problem. You've got a little pet sin in your life and you're afraid to come to God because of those things in your life. I'm going to tell you, you'll come to Him. He'll prevail. He wants you to worship Him. And He knows you're not perfect. And He knows you've got a little dirt between your toes. But son, that's why he's given us the Bible. The soul has been made clean by the blood of the Lamb. But he has, and it's a one-time cleansing.
Yes, sir. Thank God. Amen.
I just thought of this, Brother Andy. And I've got to give it. You know that crowd that says you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus in order to be saved? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Mm-hmm. Now, if I believe their doctrine, here's how I wrote that verse of Scripture. He that believeth, because they can lose it, see? He that believeth and is baptized and 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 baptized a little more and baptized and baptized. Because every time that they lose it, they'd have to get baptized all over again. So they've got to be baptized and baptized and baptized. I don't know why I said that. God laid that on my heart. Must be somebody listening that needs that. What I'm saying is this. We don't need to be saved all over again. We need to go to that Bible for cleansing. We're not perfect. We've got a little of the wild dirt between our toes. And if we'll go to that book in cleansing, God will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness and allow us to come into God's presence and worship. If you're waiting to get perfect to worship, buddy, you've got a long wait. Amen. Well, I can see this is going over like a lead balloon, some of you. I'm doing my best. I don't want to say the second thing, the second ingredient. Look at verse number 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Prayer. God, hey, unto thee shall all flesh come. Prayer. You're not going to worship without prayer. I said to you, we're going to pray every night after the meeting, us men. Some of us, the two or three of us, has met every day at 3 o'clock this week to pray. We're going to pray every night after the meeting, tonight, right on through Friday night, every night. We're going to pray when this meeting service is over. Do our best to get a hold of God. I'm going to tell you what, folks, you'll never worship God till you learn to pray. I'm going to tell you, if God's ever drilling anything in my soul, hey, in prayer, you call upon God, and in prayer you come to God, and they that come to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if you call upon God, He hears us.
Amen.
That's right. I took that old book, I told Miss Hall one night, I don't know, it might have been Wednesday night, whatever night, Thursday night, I said, I'm going back to the church. She said, what do you got? I said, I'm going to pick up some books. And I come back and got all them books, Bo William Bounds, on prayer. I sat down and started reading that one book on power, prayer, and praying men. Power of God, God, and the power of prayer, power of prayer. Son, I read through a few chapters of that, and he smote my heart, and I thought, oh my God, how far am I away? How far have I drifted from in my prayer life, and how far away am I from God? And I'm going to tell you, there ain't no Christian ever come to God and worshiped Him, brother, without praying. And we can shun it, we'll draw. And I'll tell you, worship and prayer is a spiritual exercise of the soul that takes labor and it takes time. And there's very few people that really take time to pray, get into the presence of God. I turned that book over on the back cover, Brother Doug, and I told Miss Hall this morning, I read it again this morning, I said, showed it to her, I said, you know, you're married to a real intellect. I wrote in that book, I said, in the back of it, I said, Lord, please help me by the power of God to be the man that this book, the man of prayer that this book speaks of, O-F-F, not of, off. But I read that thing again, 10:57 p.m., on 23rd day of March, 1983. And again, I said, almost 20 years ago. I know where I'll be that night. 20 years ago on that night this coming year. I was down on my face on that old orange ottoman, son. That's a sitting up yonder in that upper room waiting on me now. Miss Hall said, maybe it's God's call back to the orange ottoman. I got to thinking about old Jacob and how he came to Bethel, Brother Doug, and saw a ladder that raised up into heaven and saw the angels of God descending and ascending on that ladder. And they went down to Paddan Aram, spent 14 years, and God called him back to Bethel. I got to thinking, son, may God, back to Bethel, back to Bethel, God's call, back to Bethel, God's call, back to the house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. He told that Pharisee in his day, you made it a den of thieves. Somebody said, well, we don't sell things out here in the church. You don't have to. Maybe you've already sold out your prayer life. How much did it cost you? 4 trips to Walmart? Little leisure time on the couch with a Pepsi Cola? Maybe a day in a deer stand. Or a night on in the morning to crawl up in a deer stand. Hunt 2 hours and then go to work on top of that. But they wouldn't get up 4 o'clock and meet God in prayer. Blessed is a man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. About half the church is left. Did I say something wrong to offend them? Hope not. Hope it ain't that boring anyhow. Prayer. Prayer, friend, I'll tell you. Prayer and purity of life. His ears are always open to the feeble. God, help us. To see ourselves feeble. We'd ever see ourselves weak and broken and feeble and in poverty. I guarantee it would drive us to Him that is full and rich. Hallelujah to God and strong and able. Only until we see our feebleness and our frailties and our weaknesses will it ever drive us in prayer to the throne of God's grace to worship God that we can receive the strength that we need in this life. Amen. I'm enjoying preaching. I don't know what you're getting, but I'm liking what I'm saying. And I believe the Lord's liking it. Thank you, Lord. You just said you was liking it to me. That's one chalk mark for Brother Hall. Because God knows where we live, and we come in here and sit like zombies. Prayer and worship. Prayer and worship and praise. Preaching prayer and praise down to the house of God. Whoa, let me run that by you again. Somebody once preached, preacher, preach. If you had praised, preacher, praise. Did it help preacher to preach, preacher, preach a little bit? Do you know what E.M. Bounds said? Said preachers need to pray. Preachers need prayer. He said the church is not praying for the preachers, infidels. I'll never be no more than you want me to be and I want to be. Never. Can't get there no other way. You're going to have to want it. And I'm going to have to want you to have it. Hallelujah to God. Old David Brainerd, listen to me. I know I'm going to take a look, but old David Brainerd used to get along with God in that little old cabin of his and pray for them Indians. And the only way he could communicate with them was with a heathen interpreter. He didn't even speak their language. And old Brainerd said, hey, and reached more heathen with the gospel. And couldn't even speak their language. And we got to go to language school and do this and do that and everything else in order to do something old day. You know what Brainerd's secret was? I just read last night. He said in his diary, they found in his diary, that he came in one morning from being out with those Indians and it said, from a half o'clock before high sun. That was, if I understand anything, that was at 11:30 in the morning. He got on his face and began to pray. He said when he got up praying, it was 6:30 in the evening. And it seemed like it was only a few minutes had passed by. And he went on to say, when I got up, my body and my clothes was wringing wet with sweat where I divinely interceded for the souls of those poor, helpless, heathen Indians that are dying without God, without hope. And I'm telling you, we can't even come together as a church and pray for the souls of men that are dying and going to hell without God and without hope. It ain't no no wonder the world's in a mess it is. Son, it's not their fault. It's the problem with the people of God that we have failed to pray and get into the presence of God. Amen. Brainerd prayed for 7 hours and was wet with sweat. We pray for 7 minutes and don't break a sweat. The Lord prayed until His sweat became great drops of blood, and we ourselves can't give an hour's time. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach it, that he may dwell in Thy courts. Oh, God's dwelling place, our dwelling place. The courts of God, the heart of God is our dwelling place. I'm going to hurry by this one, the third thing, ingredient. Verse number one, or verse number one, praise waiteth for Thee, O God, in Zion, and unto Thee shall the vow be performed. The performing of our vows. I said a while ago, the feeble, the suffering, the sorrowful, the sinful, God waits on them to pray. But the performing of our vows, I'm going to tell you what, we need to be people of our word. It used to be that a man's word and a handshake was all it took. You go somewhere and borrow money, now you go sign 75 different documents. Are you listening to me? Performing of the vows. Vows, unto thee shall the vow be performed. The vow is a voluntary and deliberate promise made to God in an extraordinary case, a religious promise made in a holy to God in a holy manner. Most people want to make vows to God when they want something from Him. Lord, I'll do this if you'll do that. Hogwash. Almost said the wrong word there. Baloney, friend. And I'm going to tell you, you better be careful making vows and not fulfilling them. There was a man named Jephthah said, Lord, if you're going to give me this victory in the battle, said, you give me the victory, and whatever approaches me when I return the first thing out the gate of my house, I'll give to you. You know what it was? It was his daughter. And it was his only daughter. And he offered her to God. He gave her to God. And you know what the tale of that story is, ladies and gentlemen? His vow cost him everything he had. It cost him all. He said, I'll give that to you. And she came out and she's the only one he had. I'm going to tell you, sometimes your vows, you ain't careful, cost you everything you got. God may try us. I know we're slow, but I'm going to tell you, you made me this way. I'm going to tell you what that is. That trying our faithfulness to God. How we really, moreover, it's required and scarred that a man be found faithful. And here's one that's going to bury us. The fourth thing that's ingredient of our worship, praise waiteth for Thee, O God, in Zion. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I've heard preachers say, well, we need to come worship God. Said all this hooping and hollering and bawling. Well, I'm going to tell you, you ain't never going to worship till you first praise. You might have to praise your way into the throne room. Pray and praise in and worship God when you get there.
Right.
I'll never forget that night. We prayed our way in at Tabernacle. Buddy and I walked in that little room down there, and it was a cloud hanging in that place thick, boy. Some of them boys was climbing the walls. I'm telling you, it was just like electricity in that place. It was a charging and a run. I've never been anything like it. In a little room about twice the size of that little room back there, a Miss Ruth's Sunday school room. And I'm telling you, God was so thick and rich in that place. And it all started out yonder in a little old chapel service where we started praising God! And praise started from men thanking God. You'll never praise God till you learn to thank God a little bit for what He's done. Son, if you'll ever thank Him for what He's done, it won't be long till you'll be lifting your voice up and praising God for what He's done. And that door, that veil will split down the middle and we'll go in worship. I'm trying to close. Some of you's already closed. Some of you never did open. Praise waiteth for Thee, Lord. In other words, the psalmist saying, I quietly wait for a time to praise Thee. That's what I've been doing now for about 3 years. Just quietly waiting for a time when He'll let me praise Him again. Seems like for some reason He's put the damper on us. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, old Brother Hall misses it, friend. Some of y'all in here used to praise God and shout, and you, hey, You ain't shouted in so long, you'd hey. And I'm going to tell you, I can't for my life understand what in the world has happened from here to here that's made you drift from God that was here to here.
Amen.
What's wrong?
Amen.
It's got so tight in praising, brother, Jerome can't even praise much anymore. I'm going to come in here one of these days and run about 20 laps and go to the house and let you do whatever you want to do the rest of the time. And shout in your ears on the way around.
Amen
to God.
Amen.
Praise. We oughtn't to come murmuring and complaining. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We ought to string our hearts, praise God, and in patience wait on God to let us praise Him in spirit and in truth. Sister Woodard didn't know what she was saying a while ago. She said, I'm going to praise Him in His courts. We ought to praise Him in His courts. We ought to praise Him in Zion. We ought to praise Him in His holy temple. And then the last and final ingredient, praise waiteth for Thee, His presence. We ain't going to worship Him without Him. We might go through a formal religious exercise. Somebody said, preacher, what's the importance of worship? I really believe in worship. Divine worship, Bible worship. Where our soul is fed with spiritual nutrients. Fight the devil, the temptations of life, and to really be an overcomer, really be a Christian, really be a man and woman of prayer, a man that can overcome, like Brother Steve talking about other fears. How long has it been since you worshiped? And I want to say this, I believe if we're right with God, we can worship in the presence of our enemies. David did. I mean, we worship in the presence of our enemy. Woo! Thank you, Brother Jerome. I've done it before. I've worshiped Him on Sunday morning, having to cuss me out on Sunday night. And leave on Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. See them down at the bank 4 or 5 years later and they don't even look at you. How you doing, my brother?
Amen.
You claim to love God. They don't know anything about God.
Amen.
Blessed is that man whom God chooses and calls it. He chooses you when you're saved. But has He ever called you by His power?
Amen.
Come into His presence, into His courts, and worship Him.
Amen.
Let's stand together.